Good morning. This is Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Radio. In KBOO's radio continuing attempt to cover and be involved in local news and events that really affect the listeners, we have with us today five people running for the Oregon State House District 46. Ben, are you on the phone?
I am here.
Yep. All right. Ben Cannon, who is not with us. He's with us by phone, and all the rest of the candidates that are here. I'm going to start on my left and say Mary Lou Henrick.
Good morning.
Good morning. And next we have, in order, Mary Butkin.
Good morning.
And next we have Lynn D. Parton.
Good morning.
And Cindy Benzer rounds out all that we have. So be patient, everybody, listeners and friends alike, because there's a lot of mics in the studio and there's a lot of energy in the room and on the phone. It's really wonderful. Maybe we could start with each person giving us just a couple minutes to kind of briefly identify themselves and give us some background and maybe just the reason that you might want the position or why you'd be good at it. Just a little, you know, couple-minute synopsis. We have a half an hour, and we'll start with you, Mary Lou, since you're right here on my left.
Okay. I'm Mary Lou Henrich, and as I tell people, I'm the nurse in the race. I have had a lot of experience over 35 years in health and health care and trying to make Oregonians healthier, and that's in health care, which is important that people have access to it, be affordable, be quality, and also in broader issues that make the environment healthy, the environment where we live, work, and play. So I'm currently the director of a nonprofit called Community Health Partnership, and we're kind of famous this morning, I guess, in the news about the soda contracts, and that the soda industry is agreeing voluntarily to back out of having their sugary soft drinks in schools. So we've been working on that. I've worked on a lot of other issues. We had the 20th anniversary of school-based health centers this week, and I helped start those. So I'm deep on health, but I am broad on other issues, too, because we've got to have healthy communities, healthy economy, healthy schools, and I've been involved in a lot of those things. But my depth comes in the health part.
Wonderful. And so next in order, Mary Butkin.
Hi, good morning. I'm Mary Butkin, and I have spent most of my life working with working families through the trade union movement. I currently work for Oregon AFSCME, which is one of the largest public employee unions. Over the last probably 30 years, I have worked within some of the organizations that worked on corporate accountability and raising the standard of living for working Oregonians and working Americans. I spent 17 years on the Democratic National Committee, went in with Ron Brown. I was chair of the Women's Caucus. So I've been active both locally, statewide, and nationally on issues like choice and women's right to choose. And probably for women voters now, there's never been a bigger crisis for women with the Supreme Court taking a look at revoking Roe v. Wade. And for the first time, we have an administration that appears to have turned its back on women's health and issues important to women. I have spent 20 years in Salem as an advocate for working families and working Oregonians. And, you know, my background and my passion is to raise the standard of living for all Oregonians. And that's what my background is.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Ben? Would you like to join us by phone and give us some background and information about you?
Yes, thanks. My name is Ben Cannon. I'm a teacher. I'm actually at school now. I have a wonderful group of 7th graders in the next building listening to this on the radio with another teacher.
Learning a very important, I want to thank everybody here, you included, and all the women who are present, about just their very important contribution to political science and helping our kids learn about community and community involvement.
Absolutely. So I grew up in the district, came back after college and graduate school to serve. Have a commitment to that. Like I said, I'm a teacher. I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade at an independent school in Tualatin. My wife's a teacher at Gresham High School. I've been involved around school issues as the chair of the Education Policy Council of the Oregon Bus Project and on an Early Childhood Research Committee of the City Club. We've submitted some significant recommendations around early childhood policy to the state and to the public, suggesting that research concludes that investments in early childhood make a significant difference and can actually save a lot of money in the long run. So I have policy experience in that issue. I am a young face in this race, all of 29 years old, but have enjoyed the process of meeting thousands of voters as I've canvassed the district, have been hearing and talking a lot about the variety of issues that we've already heard something about this morning, working families and the increasing difficulty of making ends meet, healthcare and the system that is broken and in so many ways needs to be rebuilt, and an education system that is vital to our state's future, and we're clearly not making adequate investments in that.
Well, thank you, and a shout-out to all your students. The next, we have Lynn D. Parton. And Lynn, can you give us a background and some information about you?
Yes. My name is Lynn Parton, as she said, and I'm a lawyer by trade. I, over the last 20 years professionally, have been involved in consumer protection, women's rights, affordable housing, and human services. On the volunteer side, in addition, I have been chair of the Multnomah County Charter Review Committee and chair of the Multnomah County Democratic Party. I have had huge personal investments of time and money also in civil, basic, and reproductive rights and the environment. I've been involved in every legislative session since 1991, including on behalf of a statewide private nonprofit organization and the governor's office. So now I'd like to be able to get my own vote and to be able to kind of branch out and tackle some tougher topics like stable and adequate funding for education and better access to health care. One thing I think we have to look at in order to stabilize those subsystems of the state is look at the financial state of the overall financial health of the state as a whole, and that needs some work. Probably not in a 1 30-second speech.
Yes. Well, thank you again. And Cindy Banzer, I'm sorry. This is the last in our group of people here. That would you like to give us some background and some information about you?
Sure. I am Cindy Banzer, and I am probably the hybrid candidate in this race in that I'm coming with a combination of both the private and the public sector backgrounds. 18 years in the public sector, including serving this district as state representative and as a metro council, and then going on to find a magazine, finding and publishing a magazine about collector classic and old cars. And running this business has been a very interesting experience in terms of balancing budgets and managing cash flows. My professional background is in school finance. I do have a master's degree in education and had worked both at the federal level and the state level in the area of school finance. When this opportunity came up to an open seat, that I felt that the compelling issue facing this community is fair and equitable distribution of state school funds. And you probably know that under the existing state formula, Portland Public Schools receive only 73 cents of every dollar that we pay in taxes for Portland Public Schools, and this simply is not fair. My mission in this race is to come out of it with a mandate to go to Salem to change that school finance formula to get money back to Portland Public Schools that we already pay, but that are leaving the area. That's our money, and it needs to be to our schools in Portland.
Thank you very much, Cindy. I need to remind our listeners that you're listening to KBOO Radio 90.7 FM. I also want our listeners to know that Oregon State House District 46 is a house district that covers portions of northeast and southeast Portland and includes the neighborhoods of Laurelhurst, Mount Tabor, South Tabor, Center, Montevilla, Woodland Park, and parts of Powellhurst, Gilbert, and Hazelwood. The district extends as far north as I-84 and as far south as Powell Boulevard. The western boundary varies between Northeast 32nd and Southeast 50th, and the eastern boundary is I-205. I'm overwhelmed.
It's actually a little farther on the southern boundary. It goes way out to streets like Roan and Inslee. And
it's got Lentz and Mount Scott Arleta.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It's a big district.
I like I said, in reading this and trying to do some background to what to bring to it, I was, you know.
And there's a lot of demographic diversity, too. There are some of the richest people in the state and some of the poorest people in the state in the district.
Well, you know, it's admirable to have such qualified people, interested in it. Now, I guess my question is, and I tried to formulate from some different people, I want to assure our listeners I don't live in District 46 and I don't know anybody here on the panel. So my question would be, and I'll go to each of you individually, how is District 46 different, or is it? And what do you think that the people should know in this election? I mean, what kind of information should they have to go and make the choice that they need to? Mary, I guess we'll start with you.
Oh, I get always to be the first one.
Well,
that's fun.
Or we could, a matter of fact, we could shake it up, and we'll start on my right, and then
okay. Well, I was waiting to summarize the entire
right. I'm talking with Cindy Banzer, who's now on my right, and we'll go around that way.
This is Cindy Banzer. 46 is different probably from those districts east of the Cascades and in the southern part of the state below Eugene, Springfield, in that our voting patterns tend to be a little bit more pro-vote for taxes and for levies and pro some issues that I call bedroom issues. With that, I think that what I have found in walking throughout this district is that we have great diversity within the district, and people may just say, oh, you are all the same. In fact, we find people who are living in places without roads or living in places that have schools that are closing that they are terrified about. We're living in places where there is a great diversity between some of the neighborhoods in this district and other neighborhoods. What brings this district together are the people, and that they retain hope and they retain belief in the system, and that they are willing to share ideas and to join in on finding solutions.
Super. Now we can go to you. And I'm now speaking with Lynn.
Thank
Lynn
you.
Lynn Parton.
Thank you. I would echo what Cindy said, and I would add a couple of things. When the Oregonian spoke with all of us, I think one of the things that they asked probably everybody is, what are five people doing in this race? And I said, well, if you look at the history of the district, it has always been full of community activists. And in fact, three of the people who are statewide electeds now, Hardy Meyer still lives just north of Laurelhurst Park. Ted Kulongoski moved out of there to move into Mahonia Hall. And Randall Edwards, the state treasurer, lives on Mount Tabor. So there's always been a very activist base, from neighborhood association people through school board people through whatever level of government you want to look at. And it's just that this district really cares. And they put their money and their feet where their mouth is, and they get out there and they're involved. And so I don't think it's an historical anomaly if you really look at it.
Excellent. Ben?
Yeah.
You want to weigh in here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it is as
you moved back to the district.
I did. As Lynn and Cindy mentioned, it's a great, active, politically progressive, historically district with wonderful neighborhoods that are both unlike each other in terms of wealth, the range of diversity there, but share a commitment to good politics in Oregon. And one message of mine that has resonated, I think, with a lot of voters is their desire for a different kind of politics, independence from special interests. I made a pledge at the start of my campaign not to take money from corporations or political action committees, and to promote solutions that really are work for the public good. I think I share that commitment with other candidates in this race, and that's what, you know, voters statewide, I think, but certainly in District 46 are looking for, are candidates who are going to go down to Salem and remain independent, work across party lines as necessary to make the kinds of investments that we need around education and healthcare and safeguarding the environment. So there's a real desire, and I think that this would be, I think that you'd find this probably statewide at this moment. There's a real desire for effective policy making, people who are going to put, you know, the citizens and the public interest ahead of partisan politics.
Well, it's certainly evident in the room. There's all kinds of great energy from all of you. Mary Butkin?
I'm going to echo pretty much everything everybody else said, obviously, about this district. It's a district where the Democratic performance is so high that even the Republicans vote Democratic in the general. You know, it is a district that I was raised in. I grew up on 49th and Yamhill. My grandparents lived there. My mother lived there. You know, I lived there. My son grew up there. You know, it's very interesting. There's sort of a darker side to 46 as well. As you go door to door, one of the things that stands out for me is nearly every household has an alarm system. And in chatting with folks, what I find is that folks are nervous. They are concerned about the rise in property crime. Depending on where you walk, there are folks who are very concerned about violent crime. We had a serial rapist in the area for a while. And so when you talk to people, you find that the pockets where the serial rapist was around, you find a very nervousness about violent crime, about crime against their children, against women in the area. And then as you walk in some of the less affluent areas, you find Section 8 housing that is absolutely abhorrent. And to think that in this day and age, we are allowing that kind of abject poverty to exist without any active involvement is most disconcerting to me. And, you know, I found that while you walk through the Section 8 housing, you come across a brand new house, one of the infill houses, the skinny houses, that's selling for $200,000
or more
in a neighborhood that folks have no chance of ever owning that home. So I think that the differences in the neighborhood from when you walk in Mount Tabor or Laurelhurst with some of the, as Lynn said, wealthiest Oregonians, and you move just a few blocks south of there and find some of the poorest Oregonians, there is an economic imbalance that is just astounding. And I think that these folks, regardless, are really looking for someone who can go to Salem, hit the ground running. I mean, this is not a time for training.
Okay. Mary Lou?
Well, I... it's
Did
kind
I
of,
introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm Mary Lou Henrich again, and the nurse. I guess, you know, for better or worse, I've kind of branded myself, and that's who I am. I'm very proud of it, actually. And I've lived in the district all my life, too. I grew up there. My parents built a house near Mount Tabor when I was three. And so I too, have raised my family and been in the Mount Tabor area. But I very much agree with the analysis that I could hear. I can't hear Ben because I don't not a set of earphones, but everybody else's analysis here of the diversity of the district, I think, is absolutely true. But there is a great feeling of hope. I have actually felt that the gift of the campaign to me has been going door to door and talking to so many people and having them be open and willing to open their door and talk. And yes, you do get some where you're having to shout through the glass because the screen doors are closed and people are afraid to open them. But I would say the majority of people that I've knocked on, and I have been in all but one of the precincts, and I'm going to get there this weekend, I think. I have found more people that have been willing to just be very open with their concerns and their issues, and they care passionately about the neighborhoods they live in. They care about the schools. They care about health and health care and how they're going to have it affordable. And I think that having been a public health nurse in Multnomah County for many years, I found that our poverty is very different than East Coast poverty, that it doesn't look like it. We have a rose bush in front of, might be a scraggly one, but it's out there in front of even some of the most decrepit housing that we have, and that oftentimes this really hides the poverty that's behind those doors. And I definitely agree that we have, you know, I've spent my career, too, working on trying to improve the lives of lowest income Oregonians and Portlanders, and that's what I'll hopefully continue to do, and to bring, I also believe in bringing people together and in sharing the stories. That's the other thing, is telling my friends and other people who don't maybe get out of their comfortable neighborhood to go to some of these areas and say, guys, you got to take your blinders off. It's not all the same.
Well, that brings me to what I think will be probably the last question to give to everyone. And being a person of stories and being an audiophile and listening often, I wonder if you could give us, I'm sure all of you have been door-to-door. I would like for you to recount either one interesting question that you didn't know the answer to that you had to find out, one that, you know, made you think, one that reminded you why, or just one encounter that you've had during your campaign that would highlight or, you know, whatever. And this time, I think I'm going to try and mix this up, so I will start with Lynn. And also, at the end, could you give our listeners a way to get in touch with you? So this will be an opportunity for each of you at the end to give a website or a way to contact. So, Lynn, if you can think of, like I said, through this campaign, you know, a summation, and I think we have about 5 minutes, so that, you know, we can equally kind of divide it up.
Well, this is Lynn Parton again. I can think of a best encounter on the doorstep and a worst encounter on the doorstep. And because the worst encounter on a doorstep includes a lot of language that is not legal on the radio,
thank you.
I think I'll concentrate on something that happened last night, which was a very simple idea, but I think it could have legs, which was this woman said, we have all these license plates for all these different things. Why can't we have license plates for kids? And I just thought, my gosh, what a simple, beautiful notion. That could be a great thing. It could be an easy thing. And I've never heard anybody else suggest that before. And I just thought, you know, these are the kinds of ideas that are out there. And, yes, absolutely get things like that to me, and I will totally try to follow up. And the easiest way, there are a couple different ways. I have a website, www.lynnparton. It's LynnPartin. I always say like Dolly, only with an I, .com. And my campaign cell phone number is 503-866-4935. And those are probably the easiest ways.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And for all of our listeners, we will, obviously, there's the voter information in the pamphlets, and we will we will remember. Now, I've just been warned that we have 5 minutes, so we will go over if, you know, we, you know, run out of time, because I want to make sure that everybody gets treated fairly here. I think next, Cindy Banzer, would you like to say a significant moment and then give us some information as to how people can get in touch with you?
Cindy Banzer, I am listed in the phone book. My home number is there. Also, my office number is in the voter's pamphlet, and we have a website at cindybanzer.com. At this particular moment, the issue that I have heard on the doorstep and that I am very, very concerned about is that some of our schools, meaning Kellogg Middle School and possibly Bridger, are being closed, while the other night the school board decided to keep Reiki in Hollywood open. This is absolutely abominable. It's based upon economics. Our schools are being impacted because we do not have the high affluency, and this is wrong. And we need to deal with this school equalization formula at the state level. I want to do what I call put in an urban overhead factor to bring some of that money back to Portland. Closing all of the Portland schools will save $4 million. Putting in this factor will bring at least $19 million. I think it's absolutely incredible. Absolutely important that all of us who are running for this office get on the bandwagon to help save Kellogg and help save Bridger, and at a minimum require that the school district treat school closures with parity, not impact those districts that can least afford to have their parents turn out at school boards and can write the check to keep their own school open.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Ben, I'm going to call on you because I want to make sure that you have enough time and to get back to class if you needed to. I know that we told you it would be a half an hour program, but we have a couple of minutes, so tell folks how to get in touch with you and give us an idea of what might have been a memorable moment on the campaign trail for you.
Thank you. A very memorable visit was to a home on the east side of Mount Tabor, a same-sex couple, two women whose young daughter does not have health insurance, despite the fact that one of her moms carries it through an employer due to discriminatory policies of our state. And I think that it's incumbent on us as legislators to pass non-discrimination codes that extend to same-sex couples, giving them the full rights that other couples enjoy. And I think that is just a basic fundamental moral issue that our state has failed to do the right thing on. The hardest question, and the one that I would encourage voters to be in touch with me about, is how to make the kinds of changes that all of the five good candidates in this race are talking about around education, healthcare, the environment, and rights. And we have a divided state, a partisan one, a legislature that is in so many ways dysfunctional. And so whether it means putting more money into Portland classrooms or building a healthcare system that works, my belief is that we need a different kind of politics, and one that really is responsive to voters, one that will build a movement in the public interest, one that registers some of the 50,000 18 to 34 year olds in Multnomah County who are not yet registered to vote, and helps them vote progressive. So this is to me the key. We share the same ideas about what needs to be done. The question is how. How do we build a progressive movement in Oregon? And I'd love to, I wish that we had the time to talk more about that question. I think it means telling a different kind of story about our nation's history, being willing to embrace the idea of making shared sacrifices for the common good, having a hopeful message and a politics that is responsive to voters. The best way to be in touch with me is by giving me a call, 503-236-4078, or going online to votebencannon.com and sending me an email, or getting the phone number through there and being in touch. So I'd love to talk.
Well, thank you so much, Ben. I really appreciate it. And of course, it's really KBOO's mission, and we're trying to do exactly what you had said. Next, we'll go to Mary Botkin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The best way to get a hold of me is my campaign office at 503-235-3178, or you can go online at friendsofmarybotkin.com, and that's B-O-T-K-I-N. We've had a lot of great stories come from the doorstep. You know, probably the funniest one is when one of my campaign volunteers got attacked by a rooster, which was a little disconcerting. I didn't know we had a lot of wildlife in our district until I started going door to door. And I certainly didn't know we had farm animals, and we do have a lot of them. So, you know, people are very eclectic in this district. Probably one of the things that I want to leave people with is I've been working with one of the Republican stalwarts to identify and develop a process by which we can collect over $200 million in uncollected property taxes statewide. $50 million of that is in the Multnomah County area alone. 40% of that is for education. I mean, that is where it should be going. Very interestingly, most of those property taxes are owned by large landowners and out-of-state corporate developers who have made a conscious decision not to pay their property taxes. And that is probably the first thing that I'm going to do, because if we collect all the property taxes that are owed, then everybody's property tax burden goes down. And so, you know, that'll be the first place I start, and then we'll go from there on tax fairness and tax equity. I mean, everybody's going to repeal the kicker.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. Thanks.
Good. Thank you. And last but not least, Mary Lou Henrich.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Henrich, and you can reach me at my website, www.voteMaryLou, H-E-N-N-R-I-C-H.com. And our campaign number is 503-257-2020, A Clear Vision. kind of a funny story about my husband having had that phone number, and we took it over, and I said, that's good,
A Clear Vision.
So 2020, 257-2020. On the doorstep, I have had the same kind of range, I think, probably, of experiences, and it's hard to pick one out, but I will pick out last weekend a woman who's 99 years old, who lives in her own apartment, and takes care of herself, does everything, has some macular degeneration, but everything else about her, she is just with it and up to date on issues, and was just challenging my socks off on, you know, how was I going to really solve these things, and about her great-grandchildren and the fact that some of these children, grandchildren worked at jobs where they did not have health care coverage, and how were we going to get it for them, and how were we going to make the schools healthier and the environment healthier, and you know, she just really kind of wanted specifics here, not just, she'd talked to some of us and was like, okay, you all sound about the same, so what are you going to do? And those kind of things, when you've got supposedly about 3 minutes at the most to be there, it's hard to kind of come up with the specific answer, but I say things like, should I have my cell phone, that I'm a coalition builder. I'm going to do it one relationship at a time. I'm going to continue to work with people to find those solutions, and I wish there were easy answers. I wish there were silver bullets that we could just say, I'm going to do this tomorrow when I get there. And, of course, we all have some things that we say on the – that, you know, I'm with all of you on the ideas that you have and some of the ones that I've picked up for schools and for healthcare. But it's going to be a lot of hard work, and I think that I bring experience that has had some success in my career, and I hope I can bring it to you in Salem.
Well, I can't thank you enough. We did go over, but I think it's really critical and important, and all of our listeners at KBOO are very invested in wanting to, in their commitment. And I just want to thank you all for being with us today, and I further want to thank each and every one of you for your commitment and involvement and concern. I'm deeply impressed and really grateful for all the work that you people do to get involved and take time to make Portland and Oregon a really special and unique place. It's citizen involvement that makes this happen, and I want to remind our listeners to get involved, get educated, and to vote.
Yep.
This is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much. And good morning. This is a Thursday morning radio zine for May 4th. Coming up next, an interview with documentary filmmaker Fawn Keim. Her new film, The Tomato Effect, explores her father's death 10 years ago. He led a controversial life as a physician practicing environmental medicine. That interview by Marianne Barasonic. At 10:30 on Art Focused, host Julie Bernard speaks with Portland painter and teacher Lucinda Parker about her current show at the Laura Russo Gallery and much more. And at 10:30 on at 11 on Democracy Now!, go inside an immigration prison. We'll also hear an interview with the mother of Zacharias Moussaoui, the only person charged in this country in connection to the 9/11 attacks. And coming up next, the tomato effect.